bass drum is crunching.
Yeah, is that new? I feel like I haven't heard this.
It's the speaker.
Ooh.
Walking the streets. Yes. Welcome back, everybody. You can disregard our chatter. We're just having fun here on the side. So welcome to episode 37 of Football on Full Heel. My name is Frankie, joined as usual by Andres and Johnny.
Yo.
And hosted by the owner of the Full Heel Network, Raphael, here in the back.
Dana White over here.
The Dana White of this shit. And yeah, excited to be back again today because we just had a wild week of soccer, everybody. A lot of stuff going on. Premier League was interesting. La Liga was interesting. And of course, the Champions League was very, very interesting. To quote my boy Johnny here from last season, lots of surprises, lots of people sad, lots of people mad, lots of emotions. And this is just, you know, early match days in these leagues and also the very first group match of the Premier of the Champions League. So I'm excited for what's in store. So I guess really quickly, we'll get everybody caught up on the Premier League is where we'll kind of start with the big clubs. But this last weekend, Chelsea tied Southampton 3-3, which may surprise some people, right? Because Chelsea retooled like no other over the summer. Picked up Timo Werner, Hakim Ziyech, Kai Havertz. No real defender, though. I mean, they got Thiago Silva, but he's like 36 years old. I don't know. I was kind of surprised. I thought that maybe Chelsea should have held their own against Southampton. And they ended up in a 3-3. Similarly, Spurs went 3 goals up on West Ham United, coached by one David Moyes. And then West Ham proceeded to score 3 goals in like the final 7 minutes. It was crushing if you're a Spurs fan, I guess. But not very surprising if you ask me. But we'll get into more detail in that in a second. Manchester City beat Arsenal 1-0. Arsenal now, a really shocking stat. They've gone something like 5 or 6 years without beating a club in the top six. That's insane. Yep. And Man City, again, just rolling through on cruise control. And then Manchester United beat Newcastle 4-1. Now, that scoreline is very flattering, a little bit deceiving, because United didn't get, like, those three goals to separate until...
Your boy missed the penalty that game.
The end of the match. Yeah, Bruno Fernandes missed the penalty, right?
His first ever.
But yeah, those were the big matchups. And I guess the big marquee news over the weekend was that Liverpool and Everton tied in the Merseyside Derby 2-2. And the big news there is two things. VAR controversy, again in England. And Virgil van Dijk injuring his ACL. We now know it was an ACL injury. We now know there was damage. We're not exactly sure how bad it is, but it's looking like he'll miss at the very least 3 months. So we won't be seeing VVD on the field until 2021. Now, this game included... Van Dijk was injured on a play where he was called offside. It's very, very questionable. If he was offside, it was marginal. And Jordan Pickford completely took him out. I guess we'll discuss, but... Most people that I've talked to anyway say that Pickford should have been sent off. He wasn't. And then later, Mane scored a goal that was honestly like completely valid. Valid. He was completely onside.
Oh.
Ruled offside. And what should have finished 3-2 for Liverpool finished 2-2. Regardless, a very exciting match for neutrals. Not very fun if you were a Liverpool fan. And I guess we have that biggest headline now. Van Dijk out for an extended period of time. Since he's joined Liverpool in January of 2018, he's started every single Premier League match. Or not necessarily started, but he's played in every single one. So this could be very significant. Andres, I'll start with you because you're a Liverpool hater. And I know you said that you don't think
not
they can...
a hater.
You think they can't play that high line that they've been playing, right? What do you think this impact is for them then, other than that high line? Is this going to be major?
I think you're looking at a shift in play style for Liverpool. Obviously, you have Fabinho who will slot in that center back spot until they find a replacement. But I think you're going to look at a more conservative Liverpool from now on, with Thiago probably playing a really important part and, you know, sending long balls, through balls onto the wide areas of the field. But I don't think Liverpool can, you know, play kind of press high up top, win balls up top without, you know, Virgil van Dijk, you know, holding back the back line. And, I mean, Virgil van Dijk is also kind of the soul of that team. So who knows how they're going to respond, you know, to that injury.
What do you think, Johnny? They'll be fine? Fabinho's been sliding into center back in like the two matches since.
No, I haven't said anything. I stayed quiet because you gave a thorough recap, but I felt like this was the biggest implications of the weekend from that restart. And I know that I hated it because it was after the international break, so it was already kind of funky. And Liverpool loses their best player. Like, arguably, Van Dijk is the number one defender. And it sucks that the VAR and these decisions overshadow the match, you know? Because it was the stellar matchup of the weekend. It was like at 6 a.m., though. But and that was right away, right? Pickford did that foul before Liverpool took the lead. And Liverpool took the lead like minute 6 or 7.
Yeah.
So
I think it was in the fourth minute.
Yeah, I don't think – I don't know that those Calvert-Lewis headers would have gone in if Van Dijk was back there. And I think Everton played super physical, that, and it was demonstrated by that foul that this guy recklessly did, Richarlison.
Yeah.
And he almost injures Thiago. Imagine they would have lost Thiago and Van Dijk for sure, or Van Dijk and Thiago, I'm sorry. It was ridiculous. And then the last minute goal gets called back on a perfectly sliced ball by Thiago that was like a butter pass. I saw no offside. Like, you even look at the drawing, it's like a made up line. Like, you, it's so weird, and it's starting to overshadow it. But I guess you just have to take it how it is and expect some weird calls like that. I kind of get for the first foul with the Van Dijk how they said it's offside, so that the play is kind of dead. But it's like, it's just super unfortunate. I think the ref could have called the foul, at least the yellow, and that would have been a penalty. Or is it not a penalty because it's offside, so the foul doesn't count? It's a weird rule. I think it's a weird glitch, but I want to say that, and I'm talking a lot, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
I think, yeah, they lose Van Dijk, and what they lose with Van Dijk is the best defender in the world, and what he did to set up their game is he has those passes where he sets Salah up right away, you know, across the field, diagonal pass to Salah or Mane. That was Van Dijk too, so now he would open up the pitch a lot for them, and then, or give it right to the wingbacks. And now it does look a little rocky, but I think that they're going to... I think Liverpool's been a team that faces adversity or like the really well. They did it last year, too. They were without Adrian and I want to say...
Alisson
and without someone else.
Henderson, for a while.
Yeah, for a while. Fabinho, I'm sorry.
Oh, Fabinho, too. Yeah, you're right.
So, I think they shouldn't be scared. I think it's definitely advantage City now. City has the most depth, and they have defenders. Whereas even Liverpool now doesn't have defenders, because even in the mid, they're gonna be struggling to rotate enough, because they're gonna have to find goals up top, and if it hasn't been Salah or Mane, they're struggling a little bit. Firmino hasn't scored, but.
I will say
that was what I was saying. I would say Everton competed and they were too physical, man. I don't know, but I don't know what that says about them, you know, or how did you guys see Everton then, or your thoughts of the game? Because that was a lot. It was a crazy game.
No, I think you were spot on. I think I agree with everything that you said. Unfortunately, the VAR decisions. I don't know what it is about the Premier League, about English referees, but they just can't get this right, and it's super frustrating because almost every single week we're talking about this in England now. Yeah. And I know part of it is the change in the rule with the arm, right, Andres? They changed like where it can't go like any higher than this, and if it does, it's not a handball. If it's any lower, it is. So I guess by that letter of the rule, like by like the finest, slimmest margin, I guess Mane was off, but the lines that were, I guess, drawn electronically, digitally, yeah, It was essentially the same line.
I thought it was from your foot.
The line used to be on the line used to be on the armpit, and now it's like right below the shoulder area because that's what's considered, you know, onside.
I thought it was your legs, man, like where you would take off from, but I don't know. It's weird where they place these lines because even in the Van Dijk, they did it under his armpit. I don't even think Van Dijk was offside. The other players were offside, but they weren't attempting on the ball. So I don't know why they would have called offside on them.
That one was a little bit harder to call, though, too, because of, like, all the players in the box and, like, some of the camera angles were tricky. But none of them were
going for the ball besides Van Dijk, I feel like. And everyone who did go for the ball was onside.
Well, and what I was meant to say, too, is what made that one tricky is the guy who would have kept Van Dijk onside was, like, on the other side of the box.
Yeah.
It was Calvert-Lewin, I think, who kept him or would have kept him onside. And it was hard to tell because they were so spaced apart. So I think depth and depth perception definitely had something to do with that. But, stealing the headlines of what was a top-of-the-table clash, right? Both of these teams were Liverpool had already lost, right? So, but Everton was at the top.
Let me kind of summarize it like this to kind of segue to a little bit. So I think Liverpool can still compete and win the title. I don't think they should. I think Fabinho looks kind of secure in the back, you know, to be honest. But I will ask you guys this then. Is Everton a top four team or am I making that up? Are they just up in the league right now? What's going to happen to them? Or what are the other takeaways?
I'll let you answer first, Andres.
Well, the defense on Everton is kind of makeshift right now. They have a couple of injuries. I think Cole Sheamus is out, so they brought in Godfrey. They kind of don't know who is the best pairing with Keane. Pickford, I mean, it's Pickford. I'm not too sure.
They've been playing Mina and Keane, right? Yerry Mina?
Yeah.
I know Mina. They have a lot of ex-Barca players. Digne.
Gomez,
yeah. So.
Yeah, I think the big X factor on Everton is James and his role on the team. What they really try to do is just overload his side, and then he just kind of whips it over to Digne, who finds open men, you know, because he's wide open. So they kind of have a little system going, and they have physicality, as you saw. I don't know if they can sustain it, but they definitely started impressively. So, I mean, we'll see. They don't have champions. They don't have Europa. So they really all they have to do is invest in the league. They'll definitely be up there kind of like a Leicester City type team of last year where they just kind of, you know, just played every week and had the energy to play. So they're definitely going to get the better of teams that are playing, you know, twice a week.
That's a good point. They don't have any European commitments, which should help them, right? So they don't have to go deep into their bench, and Ancelotti can probably keep the same or close to the same 11 out there. That's a good point. What I think, though, is I think it's just too early to tell. I like the pieces, and I still think that James Rodriguez has been the signing of the summer, quite frankly. Created more chances, I still think. So far, I know it was before the international break, he had created more chances than anybody else in the Premier League. So definitely well worth it. He's already got two or three goals, too. So, I mean, easily the still the signing of the summer. And I think maybe they'll gel. I think like all teams like you mentioned Leicester was really well. They were steady third place for a while and then they hit a rough patch. Right. I think Everton will do that, too. I just don't know how bad it'll be. Right. Ancelotti is a quality coach. We know this. They've got some good pieces. I just think it's too soon to tell. Another team I think is too soon to tell, but you guys are a little bit more sold on, is Spurs. Again, Spurs has some magnificent pieces, and maybe after Chelsea, they probably had the best summer in the Premier League. Again, for those of you guys who missed our recap last week, they brought in Sergio Reguilón, which is Reguilón, right? It's not a double L. It's Reguilón. Last year he was on Sevilla, but he was owned by Real Madrid. He was a Madrid player. They brought Gareth Bale back on loan, right? The prodigal son. They added Pierre Holberg in the middle, right? Honestly, they kind of retooled their team. Doherty, the right back from Wolves, the Irish international. But to me, and I'll admit to a little bit of bias, I'm not a Mourinho fan, never truly have been. I respect his achievements and that he's been effective. But to me, Spurs is a counter-attacking team. So despite the fact that they've scored the most goals in the division so far, which props to them, right? Most of those have come from the Harry Kane to Son connection, right? And while I do agree with the point that we kind of discussed before we recorded, that any team with injuries to, you know, their big attackers is going to feel it, right? I just feel like in true Mourinho fashion, he's got a lot of athletes in the middle, right? A lot of guys who are going to win the ball back and do a lot of running. But not a lot of guys who can break a packed defense or a defense who could be as organized as Mourinho defenses can be, right? And my other question was maybe a little bit validated this past weekend because they gave up three quick goals at the end. They kind of collapsed there. I mean, still got a point, but still very disappointing. So my question to both of you guys is, should the three goals given away to West Ham be concerning for Spurs? Or are you guys still both banking on them finishing at the very least top six?
I'll start with this one since this guy did the other one.
Go for it.
I think it kind of doesn't matter because now I think no team in the EPL has two good center backs besides City. So at this point, it's a pick 'em and choose 'em for me, and I think the same problem can be said for Chelsea as it is for Spurs, as it is for Arsenal, as it is for Liverpool now, as it is for Everton, as it is for all the teams, Wolves, Sheffield. None of them are gonna have that rock at the back. So I think teams are gonna be going forward because I'm actually bought on Spurs, and I think the team looks good. It looks like a typical Mourinho team, and Son and Kane have started as hot as can be.
Yeah.
I think Son has, like, he's been involved in, like, 8 goals. And then Kane had 4 assists to
in
4 goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, to Son. So I think Reguilón is a steal sign. And look at Real Madrid, how they're doing in left back right now. Shout-outs to Marcelo. But, like, that's like, he's a good pickup. In the mid, I think they have players that can do their job. I just do think that Spurs is prone to just losing. And then I do think I because I know last season I was critical of Mourinho. I was like, kind of, what has his career come to that he's taking this Spurs job? And it's kind of like, I don't know. It was hard to tell. Right now, it looks like it's going somewhere. But I kind of thought, like, last season he didn't do that bad. At the end of the day, he got him into Europa League when he got him in 12th place. So with him, you can't really criticize that he doesn't get results. You could criticize more of his style of play, I would think. But I think they're going to be fighting for the league because they have so many players that can come up. And now they have arguably the best front three in England. So I know Frankie's worried about them at the back, but if anything, you could say they have one of the more reliable goalies. So I think they're fighting for the title this year. I think them, Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea a little under them, or maybe right there, Man U, they're all going to be, it should be a super exciting league. So that's what I'll say about Spurs.
Yeah, it definitely feels like the team that gets its defensive, you know, identity, you know, gelling the quickest is probably going to go the farthest because every team kind of has, you know, a little bit of missing pieces in the back. Maybe
whoever sorts out Chelsea, the back.
Yeah, if it's not Chelsea with, you know, who's pairing Thiago Silva, if it's not, you know, how is Liverpool going to manage with, you know, two defenders now basically on the roster. So it's going to definitely come down to very like a shootout style Premier League nowadays, where it's like there's gonna be a lot of goals, a lot of 3-3s, a lot of, you know, 4-3 type of games. I feel like Chelsea is kind of like a 4-3 type of team where, you know, they're probably gonna let in 3 goals, but they probably could score 4. So it's gonna come down to probably, you know, who defensively can, you know, kind of stifle some of these attacks and get points.
Since you mentioned it, 3-3s in Chelsea,
yeah,
bring
that up, yeah.
Is that a concern? It is still early in the season, and they haven't had all of their new players play together, like, yet, right? We've had some discussions about maybe Pulisic. I think he just played his first start, and he was out of position, I think you guys were saying. And then we know that he hasn't played with Werner and Ziyech, right? Timo Werner's starting to come on and had 2 goals recently. And like Johnny pointed out, he's looking like everything that Liverpool could have used, right? Which I'm sure is burning or it sucks for Liverpool supporters. But is this anything to worry about for Frank Lampard? I feel like it is, but you both of you guys brought up an excellent point in that pretty much all of the big teams in the Premier League have an issue at that position, right? In the center back, or that's probably everybody's weakness, right? So I guess they're maybe not necessarily even, but that's a little bit of a balancing one for everybody in the competition. So again, I think it's early. I think they don't have the benefit of their best players yet. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. What I will say,
who are they missing?
Well, Ziyech hasn't played yet, right? I haven't seen Hakim Ziyech play yet.
Well, maybe this guy's just benching him because he sucks. Nah, crazy.
But no, he played. He played. I think they're just easing him after the injury yet.
I also don't think they know what the best position for Havertz is yet. I think since he's played like in a different position almost every match. He's played like everywhere along the front three, if I'm not mistaken, or behind the striker.
Well, right now the team with the best defense is Aston Villa, and they're in second place. So that just goes to show what a good defense can kind of do. Yeah, and they have 12 goals, four. So that kind of, you know, they're doing it on both sides.
I was just going to bring up that the thing for Chelsea to me is that at the back they look awful, like they do. A lot of those plays are, like, avoidable. There was a big Kepa mistake.
Kepa looks bad, man.
Yeah.
He's frustrating to watch.
Yeah, so he's definitely out. I don't know if Mendy fixes it. Like, is that the automatic fix at the back? It's not, because they still got center backs to deal with. So I think... shout out to our boy who keeps scoring in England with Southampton, Danny Ings. And
former Liverpool player as
no
well.
No shout outs though to West Ham or David Moyes, whatever.
That Lanzini goal was a rocket. That was a nice goal.
You guys see the meme where it's just like they show him on the board what to do and it's just like shoot at the top bin. Top bins is just like, that was a golazo.
Yeah, no, it was a golazo.
Yeah, but I digress. Chelsea, I think what Andres pointed out was very good the other day. I think they need to start Pulisic, and I don't know where Ziyech's going to start, but I think Pulisic, he barely got back, I guess, right? He was injured too.
Yeah.
So I guess they got to sort that out, and then they got to gel, but I feel like Chelsea's been trying to gel forever, so I want to start to see some consistency, you know? And we'll preview it a little later, right? So we're gonna have a big matchup and see what they're made of. So I don't know if Chelsea's right there. Who do you guys pick, Chelsea or Spurs, or who between them two? Who do you think is better?
I think I need a little bit more time.
But right now,
I mean, obviously Spurs. Spurs is scoring like
crazy. Oh, our boy, yeah.
And I agree. Chelsea's defense is highly suspect. Granted, I we saw them this weekend give up three goals at the end, and then we saw them against Sevilla now in the Champions League too, just a little preview. But Zuma especially looks like a weak link in that defense, and they've been playing Zuma and Christensen a lot, right? And Silva, I feel like, brings the leadership, but I feel like he's also kind of getting used to things and has already had a couple mistakes, has looked a little shaky, possibly even hurt, right? I think they're just kind of bringing him in slowly.
Isn't it funny how him and David Luiz are both featuring for top English flight Premier League teams at center back?
Right, David Luiz scored today.
That's what I'm telling you. It's the status of the Premier League and the defenses right now.
Right.
It's pitiful.
It's pitiful.
To be honest.
Speaking of pitiful defending at center back especially, Manchester United finally won. Or not finally, but...
Yes, finally.
Scored a lot of goals. But like I said in the preview, in the lead up, is I feel like that's a little bit deceiving, right? They scored three goals late. Rashford is up and running again. They played Newcastle, right? So I don't know how much stock you want to put into a win against Newcastle as they currently are. But do you guys think this is a plus for United? I guess, does this change your mind a little bit? I know Johnny said he thinks Solskjaer, you don't think Solskjaer is the one, right? Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
Yeah, I from the game, I didn't take much from it, to be honest. I saw that they were struggling to really...
Other than the Pogba benching?
Yeah, but that was necessary, so that was good to see. That was good to see. I think he started Fred and...
McTominay.
Yeah.
Daniel James and Juan Mata next to Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, there you go. But they were kind of warming up for the Champions League, so they didn't really start everyone, but... All the goals came in the second half, like in the 10 minutes. And that's something that we've been seeing a lot as a
trend. At the end, too, yeah.
Across, not even just in the Premier League, but across the board. Like, a lot of goals really quick. Kind of weird. Kind of crazy times where it's all starting, guys. I can't believe it, right? Soccer is just taken off and gone from 0 to 100.
Real quick.
Yeah, real fucking quick. But, real quick.
Well, that gave him. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, real quick. I forgot what I was talking about, but it was about Man U, and I didn't take nothing from that game. I thought they really struggled to break down Newcastle, and they got lucky at the end. They got three quick fire goals. The Fernandes goal was a golazo though, and that was they came from benching Pogba honestly, because I think it was the link up of like Fernandes to. So someone in the mid and then Rashford. Or I think it was strictly from Fernandes to Rashford, and then Fernandes ran his ass all the way to the front and finished that off. But it was a quick counter again, which is, well, oh, this is a good thing, which is my argument of how Frankie's so hard on Spurs, because Spurs, Man U was the same freaking team. All they can do is counter. That was, goal was on a counter. Like, Man U needs to prove they can beat these weak teams and just beat them. And they can't, because they're always got to, like, play on the counter, you know? So, that was my takeaway from the game, and then...
I think that's an excellent point. My only rebuttal to that would be, like, I think Fernandes is supposed to be the answer to that, right? To that United isn't just a strictly counter-attacking team, but like you said, they also require more balance, right? And maybe Van de Beek and Fernandes and... I don't know, McTominay or Fred is the answer? I don't know. They've got some questions there.
Fernandes also has to, if he's their attacking mastermind, why is he running the most out of any player on the field? And now he's ran so much, he literally ran himself to the captain's armband.
I was about to say, yeah.
Because now our boy Maguire scored this game, and he's the one that opened up the floodgates, I believe.
Some redemption, yeah.
What a fucking time.
Off
yeah.
a header.
Yeah, so... Fernandes is the captain. I've always been very critical of United, but I still, now that I'm saying all this, I still don't believe in them, actually. I don't think Gunner is the coach. I think they're wasting a lot of time, and I think these players need to start hitting their peaks and what their name says they're supposed to be. You're telling me they paid that fee for Marshall so far, such a long time ago, and we're still saying, oh, well, at least he scored 7 goals for us this year. And they're like, keep his ass. Like,
no consistency.
I'm not even trying to be bogus to him or no one, but, like, even Pogba, like, it was good that they benched him. Like, it was, to be honest. I think that's a good – that Gunner has shown some stuff recently that I think he is setting some good boundaries or some good examples there. But that's all I'll say about United. Or what do you guys think about
it? Do you have anything to add on to this? Yeah. I kind of agree. I mean, you're right, yeah. though, that they are pretty one-sided, and Fernandes is supposed to address that, so we'll see if they get the balance right.
Yeah, I mean, we still haven't seen how Cavani fits into this team.
Oh, yeah.
We still haven't seen, really, all the signings that they got in the summer put together. I don't know if you guys are done with EPL, but they definitely put in some other players in for the Champions League game against PSG. I don't know if you guys don't.
I guess that's what we can go into.
Axel Tuanzebe, right? Yeah. Tuanzebe, am I saying that right? He played pretty well for a kid.
Good. Yeah, so they changed it up. And
Luke Shaw didn't play pretty well.
Alex Tellez played. Tuanzebe stopped basically Mbappe's offense on PSG. Neymar was kind of... wasn't nowhere to be seen, and what do you know? United win.
So they've got some pieces to work with, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I think they're still putting it together, but definitely credit to Ole for, you know, benching big names like Pogba and trying to figure out what worked for him last season. You know, late stage. I think this was more of a team that worked for him last season.
I don't think
this
so.
This setup with Fred and McTominay are, you know, a decent base of 4-2-3-1.
I don't know. Well, I wanted to say a couple of things, but I think United's hot, right? Who's hot and who's not? We'll duke that for the Champions League as we only preview the hot teams for the champs.
We're on a roll today, guys, because as soon as you finish, that'll be the perfect segue, I think, for who's hot and who's not.
Because I think you the thing that surprised me with United and that's the Champions League, guys, how we're saying, like, it all started and it's crazy right now. Because there's games this week and there's Champions League again, and then there's games, and then I think there's Champions League again. I don't know. But the big thing was, the thing that was different that I saw is that they benched Greenwood, and they only went with a front two, and they, Fernandez, two center mids, and five defenders. So, I mean, United actually did buy players, I guess, is what, how, like, kind of you brought up. And the game was good for them. I saw that game against a PSG, and I thought it was a good game. Wan-Bissaka, there was some crazy duels going on with Neymar, Mbappe, Bissaka. De Gea had to make saves.
Wan-Bissaka just scored his first goal for United in the Premier League against Newcastle, by the way.
Yeah, Navas was the redid the penalty. Fernandez had to retake it. It was an exciting game, and I think it was. And then it was a draw. And then Pogba came in at halftime, and then at the end, Rashford with what are they calling it? That Paris fever? I don't know, but whatever Rashford has with scoring on PSG is a thing now. And I think that really increased his stock as a superstar because he did it on the biggest stage, the Champions League, and he did it against a team led by Neymar and Mbappe I think we're not too high on PSG. We think they're lacking a lot. I think they're probably about as equal of teams, or pretty equal, PSG and Man U, because I think they're both missing stuff. But Man U all of a sudden looks convincing, and it's hard. It's crazy because I don't even know what it is for me that I think changes my opinion on them, besides that they're finally getting the balance right in the midfield, and like, they just can't be like I remember I mentioned this all of last season at the end of it, where it just can't work, that Pogba, Fernandez, and Van der Beek, is that going to be the mid, and they're going to have no one covering for them? Like, it's just impossible for them to do that.
Unless Maguire starts playing like an $80 million center back.
Yeah. Frankie, he's starting the club for Maguire, I think.
That's no, what he said. If he starts playing.
Like, no, he can. Maybe, he maybe. Can. I mean, he scores, so.
But what I'm saying is he'd have to play like Van Dijk to start, for them to play like you're saying, right? And that's probably not going to happen, right? But crazy what the difference a couple days makes for United, right? They went from, you know, well, maybe not a difference. They won back-to-back. They won in the Premier League against Newcastle. Then they proceeded to beat PSG 2-1 with a late goal from Marcus Rashford against Paris. Just keeping the hot streak going against PSG. And again, yeah, United and Rashford looking hot. Quickly, though, I almost kind of wanted to start it with the opposite. I wanted to start with who's not. And to talk about who's not hot right now, we'll jump straight into La Liga. Because the teams that are supposed to be the big guns, the big competition in La Liga, were not. Both of the two giants lost this last weekend, both by a score of 1-0. Real Madrid lost to Cadiz, who was recently promoted. A historic team in Spain. Cadiz is a big city in Spain, and they've been up and down in the last 20 years from the second division and first division. I think this is their first time in like 15 years back in the first division. So they're excited. And even more so now that they beat the current champions, Real Madrid. And then Barcelona put up a goose egg against Getafe. Getafe got a penalty kick goal, scored 1-0. So both teams lost on the weekend. Now, we go back and forth on this a lot. I know you guys don't, maybe not, I don't want to say don't rate, but you guys don't have the highest opinions of the Spanish league right now. What's going on with both of these teams, though? Because to me, all right, I would argue both of these teams are not necessarily in a funk, but they're not at their best, and they're maybe even struggling in some problems, right? But I would argue that the fact that Getafe and Cadiz won is indication that there's pretty good competition there in Spain. You got a team that's just got relegated beating Real Madrid. And Getafe granted had a good season and had a last season in La Liga and made a run, in Europa. And some of those players, if you guys watched the game of Barcelona, had a great match. Cucurella, it was like a revenge match. It was like he was trying to show Barcelona what they were missing on for selling him, because he was at Barcelona before, and he had an outstanding match. They had a forward, I forget his name. I think he's Venezuelan or Colombian. Hernandez, Chucho Hernandez. Dude had a good game, but he also missed what essentially should have been the like the 2-0, the dagger for Getafe before he went off. So I think the biggest concern for Madrid is the attack. Right now, Sergio Ramos left this match injured, right? So that's a big concern for Real Madrid, because Andres brought up the interesting stat is they've lost, right? The last eight matches, or at the very least, they haven't won the last eight matches where they haven't had Sergio Ramos, right? So that's concerning, especially since Ramos has been scoring so many penalties for them in the last 6 to 8 months, right? Barcelona, again, I'm not saying I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, but I would say they're still getting it together under Koeman. Under playing a lot of young players in there. So before we move on to any more hots, these two Spanish giants are definitely not hot in the league right now.
I think you could add Atletico to the not hot list.
See, yeah, we wanted to, but they won over the weekend, right? And Luis Suarez scored another one for them weekend.
We'll save their fate for the who's hot then, because we know who's hot on that one. But I think only Frankie would give me that stat that some ex-Barca player almost got a 2-0 on them by missing a shot. Because I think it's absolutely ridiculous that Barca and Madrid both lost this weekend. Madrid to a recently promoted side. Get the fuck out of here, bro. Like, Madrid is the name itself is a, it's a freaking, like, disgrace to it that they lost to a newly promoted side. Like, props to them, but that should not happen. And I think, well, it's what we said all the whole time. I mean, I think it's two things for both Barca and for Real, and they're not dealing with it pretty well. I think they're kind of old, and I think that they for Real, they just can't attack. They can't get goals. If it's Benzema not creating and scoring, it's hard for them to get goals. Vinicius, I still haven't seen enough from him. Rodrigo is like 20 years old. Asensio is a hyped up star, I think. I think he's had good goals, but I don't think he's ever had a solid patch of like, let me get this guy and pay him. And he needs to come good. They didn't renew it. They didn't fix anything. This is essentially the same team as last season. I think Andres said no signings, right? So
yeah.
I think Madrid is what it is, and their best player is Sergio Ramos, and I think that's what's shown from recently. But on the other side, Barca, I'm just not convinced. I don't know that Barca should be playing this system, even though that's kind of what I cried out for a lot of the time. You know, whereas I think Gunnar Solskjaer has been implementing this defensive mids and playing, getting a good balance. I still don't think that the balance is there for Barca, and I don't think it's gonna be there ever. And I think they're not gonna win shit this year. And I'm calling that already so early, because I don't think they're good at anything. Frankly, they're gonna get as far as everybody wants to take them, because Messi is not gonna be like head over heels to try to get goals for the team and create. I think this Barca team is gonna struggle.
I don't think he scored from open play so far, right? Just from penalties.
Well, there you go, proving my. I think this Barca team is gonna struggle. The mid is still not fixed for me, and the defense is really bad. So they're in the same boat. So as some of these EPL teams with no defenders, but that's why I give Madrid a better shot, even though they look that bad as well.
Anything you want to add on this?
Yeah, I don't agree at all with anything you guys said. I think Madrid has no attacking options, and that's it. You can see.
They probably scored the least amount last year.
Yeah, Madrid technically is a Sergio Ramos team. Zidane is in the hot seat. He has to. This is for the first time, I think, the pressure is on Zidane to kind of fix this, or else he's really going to face a potential sacking, because he can't be losing to teams like Cadiz and then lose, you know, in the Champions League. Whereas yes, they did. Yeah. Barcelona, which they did, yeah. like, spoiler alert, they lost in Champions League. But Barcelona, I think, has a little bit more to offer offensively, and I think they're just trying to get the right balance. I think we're going to get a lot of wacky results with the rotations. They didn't start Coutinho, and they started Pedri in the middle. So, I don't know. I think this is Koeman trying to figure out who his most balanced lineup can be. And, I mean, he has stars. He has Ansu Fati. Coutinho can score. If you want to jump into the Champions League, they had five different scorers in one game. So.
Against who? You're not gonna prove me on this one, bro.
Against
this Barca squad is even weaker than last year's Barca
against
squad.
You're right. They beat the Hungarian champions in the Champions League.
This Barca squad is weaker than last year's. This is weaker than last year's side. Prove me wrong.
I'll prove you wrong on one point. There is something hot about Barcelona, and you know who's hot on Barcelona? Ansu Fati. Not even 18 years old, starting for the Spanish national team, scored again in the Champions League. I think he became, the youngest player to score two in the Champions League, right? Or something like that? He's not even 18 yet, and he's already got two goals in the Champions League at the very least. So I think that's very promising, because if there is one other promising thing, Johnny,
not going to convince me that they're going to win anything.
Right. One bright spot, and maybe not that they'll win, but that'll definitely help in the long term, is they're getting away from the Messi dependence. You're starting to see Coutinho pick up his weight and the slack a little bit more. You're starting to see Fati take advantage of the spaces left by Messi or getting those passes from Coutinho. So maybe it's just been a little bit, and it's been flashes, and it may not hold for the rest of the season. Maybe we'll see. But I think that is a bright spot. The other thing I like to see, too, though, that I've seen that could be a bright spot is I'm starting to see them play De Jong in his natural position a little bit more. I still agree with you that maybe they don't have the right balance. We saw him and Busquets on the weekend, and then him, De Jong, and Pjanic in the Champions League. So I think he's trying to figure it out.
He's not. I'm telling you that right now. I'm literally telling
you.
You don't agree that Fati's hot?
Fati's hot right now. Fati's hot, but I don't take it more than a bright spot.
Is hot.
I don't think this Barca team is combining that great.
You know who's not hot? Antoine Griezmann.
I was about to say that.
He's cold. He's cooling. Cooling.
Dude, he started up top on the weekend, and you saw that the guy can't play center forward. I don't know what Coleman sees. Sees as his natural position, because that's not it either.
I kind of agree with you, but I feel like at this point, that's probably his best chance, you know? At this point, I like him up top, and then like Messi in right behind him, and the wingers, right? Dembele or Fati and Trincao or whatever, you know? Because honestly don't know where he would... Look, for a long time, I was like, yo, it's Antoine Griezmann. We know this quality there. He's not your typical Barcelona player, but they brought him through anyway. Let's give him some time. But I think now I'm up on time with Griezmann, too. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, they've played him in so many positions, and you haven't seen really, besides when it was only him and Messi up top. But now,
I mean,
as a team, he just doesn't fit.
You can't fault his work rate, but it's about the product, right? And there is no end product for him right now.
He was expected to bring in, what was he scoring? At least 20 goals for Atletico?
Yeah. And actually, I'm glad we brought him up, because he missed two clear ones from Messi. Set him up twice against Getafe on the weekend, and he missed them. Missed them both. Fluffed his lines.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we just got to give time. I mean, Barcelona will probably come out of the group, most likely. So, I mean... we'll have to see how they progress, but yeah, early signs are they're kind of still figuring it out.
Well, isn't it weird that Griezmann is on benched and struggling with Barca, and goes on international duty and scores a peach of a goal off a volley with the left foot?
Yeah,
that's what I'm expecting to see at Barca, and it's just not happening. And I think we can't name Barca's best lineup, and they're gonna struggle to find consistency all year. And I think. They don't win anything.
Well, they went. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Because I was gonna say they went from not hot in the league to hot in the Champions League. Granted, it was against Ferencváros, the Hungarian champions, right?
Yeah.
But Dembele
scored. Came on.
Dembele came on late. got an assist, got a goal. Hopefully he can maintain that. I doubt it, but we'll see. Fingers crossed. Because in a few minutes, I think for his assist, you could see that that change of pace that he offers is sorely needed by Barcelona. But I also feel like Trincao brings that too on the right side. He brings a change of pace and trickery. Granted, he's a 20-year-old kid in the Spanish League, and he just played his first match in the Champions League, so he looked like he was a little bit out of his depth, but at the same time, he looked like he offered a little bit something different. Will they get it together this season? Is Koeman the guy? I don't think that Koeman is the guy. I am a firm believer that Koeman is going to go in the summer once they have a new president. So maybe this is just like a, and I hate to say like a, maybe like a gap year or just like a lame duck year, right? Because Messi's still there and you don't want to see them possibly waste Messi's last year. But I don't know, a lot of question marks there with Barcelona.
Well, I will say Coutinho has been their best player, I think. But I want to see the same. I need to see all these players play to their potential. And I think Barca's best bet is if they need to get these French guys firing, because if Dembele and Griezmann are not the key players of the team, they're not going to win anything. Koeman, then Koeman's job was what? To coach 1 year and bring up Pedri and Fati, who's a beast. So, I mean, I'll take that one back. But, like, he's going to give all... It's like he's kind of giving all these other guys shots that are younger and, like, acting like they're from La Masia or something. But it's been baffling to me sometimes with some of his choices. And I guess they're trying to balance, but I don't see anything either. I mean, I think they have flashes of brilliance because they have brilliant players like Coutinho, Messi. Like, some of these guys are just, like, they beat teams by themselves. So that's why they'll be competitive in La Liga, because La Liga is garbage. And Sevilla have a shot to win it this year.
Sevilla does have a shot to win it. If they're Europa League winners, they retained most of their stars. They got Rakitic. Lopetegui's got the system. Don't sleep on Sevilla, because they just tied Chelsea
in the Champions League,
right? Yeah. So nice little transition to Champions League. Sevilla looking still kind of hot, tying Chelsea 0-0. Another team that stays hot and is probably the team to beat, not just in Europe, not just in the Bundesliga, it's Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich absolutely demolished, like Johnny said, Atletico Madrid. Atletico got killed 4-0. And it really wasn't even that close.
Dude, I saw the highlights. Lewandowski and Müller were doing like flying scissor kicks. Literally, like,
they were having fun out there.
They're literally making it rain on freaking this guy, best goalie in the world. Atletico.
Oblak.
Yeah, Oblak.
I think what we're seeing is just Bayern kind of pick up where they left off, since there wasn't really like a preseason and a summer window where, you know, it took months off. They kind of just got right back to it. I think they extended the streak of 12 of most games won consecutively in champs to like 12, which is like a whole tournament and like one extra game. So,
yeah,
I mean, they have so many pieces everywhere. I mean, they didn't even start Sané or Narbi, and, you know, Koeman got the job done by himself, basically.
Well, did have two goals, yep.
Lewandowski didn't even score.
And Kimmich kind of, you know, reassured his spot as one of the best midfielders in the world with his passes and his vision and his technical abilities.
Well, he set up Koeman on the first goal, went back and made sure to not lose the ball on a sliding tackle, and then served him up.
Atletico's got a lot of things to figure out, huh? Just don't look like a Simeone team right
now. Yeah, it is funny you brought that up, because Atletico was coming in hot to this game. Like, Suarez was scoring, and we were like, okay, they're going to make it competitive, and it was just not. Bayern is like, there's levels to this, and if you're not as swole as Goretzka, then...
Don't even
try to play us in the midfield, because it's not going to be a fun time for anybody. They just are overrunning teams off of just, like... This is reminds me of the old Bayern teams. Like, when there was Robin and Ribery and Mueller still. It's a freaking mechanically ran team.
It's a machine.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I think they're a great team. I think their defense is still their one weak link. I think they're susceptible to nimble forwards such as Sergio Aguero, Lionel Messi. players of that caliber. But other than that, it's hard to really point out a weakness for Bayern because they're so stacked in each department. And I think they brought our boy Chao Moteng. So I don't know.
Choupo-Moteng. Tolisso scoring bangers.
Yeah, no, but it was a complete like they destroyed them. It was not a competition.
Right, and the other biggest takeaway from the Champions League, guys, is again going back to Johnny's tried and true. People are going to be upset. People are going to cry. It's been the first match day for the group stage, and there have been upsets. There have been shockers. Real Madrid lost 3-2 to Shakhtar Donetsk from the Ukraine. And mind you, Shakhtar was down 10 first-team players due to COVID. That's insane, right? Players like Marcelo and Militao put up stinkers. Modric and Vinicius Jr. almost had the comeback going, and they had a late goal called back. Not looking good. Again, like I said, specifically, even for myself, the Spanish team's blowing rather cold right now. Not looking good for them. Atalanta.
They might not even make it out of the group.
Atalanta stays hot. Atalanta dropped another 4 goals. Granted, they didn't play the strongest, competition. But either way, 4 goals from them. We already know they're high scoring. They're fun to watch. And they're just keeping that going.
Well, this brings me to another trend that is this season, I think, is going to keep happening, is that Atletico was coming in high and Atalanta wasn't, I'm sorry, right? Because they had just lost over the league 4-1
to Napoli.
Yeah. So, and then they crushed. They looked really good too, but yeah, it wasn't. I can't remember the team, but Atalanta looked good, man. I was telling Frankie they look like Leeds to me, kind of, or like Leeds looks like them. I'm sorry to offend Atalanta because they've already been doing it for a whole season, and they're a tricky matchup in the Champions League. They have so many strong big players, just capable, and they know what they're doing. They're a tough out for anybody, and I think they're gonna come to play again this year. I think they're a good squad. So who else is
Duvan has like 60 goals in like 85 games.
Yeah, Duvan Zapata has been super hot for them. Luis Muriel too, the two Colombians that they have been, and then Papu Gomez too. Papu Gomez had a screamer in this match. So yeah, good things from Atalanta. Good things from Man City, who beat Porto 3-1. Started kind of choppy, kind of suspect. With your boy, the 63-million-pound man, Andres Ruben Diaz, giving the ball away for a Porto goal. But afterwards, they recovered and scored 3. Granted, 2 were from set pieces, a Kun Agüero penalty and a Ilkay Gundogan free kick. But Ferran Torres scored his first Champions League goal for Man City. And it was pretty nice, I guess, to see Foden give him the assist. So possible glimpses of the future there for Man City and the Foden to Ferran connection, right? Still look liable for mistakes in the back, but City could maybe potentially be primed to give Bayern a run for their money, you guys think?
I mean, this was a City without Laporte, without, De Bruyne, their most important player probably in the midfield, and without even Jesus, who was pretty hot in their last Champions League campaign. So as players come back, back to the fold, I think they can make a good case for, make a semifinals run again. I don't see why not.
I think Man City is better off competing for the EPL because they're garbage.
Well,
you don't like what they're doing?
I think it's the same shit, and I think it's stale. I don't think I really rate Ferran Torres. I'm a little bit buzzing, but I'm buzzing because his team sucks. I feel like De Bruyne has to do so much there, and they're so predictable. I think they don't get anything off of their fullbacks. Ruben Diaz is looking like a hot-ass garbage signing right now. Literally gave the ball away in the very first goal to Porto. Literally try to pass the ball in between like 6 guys, bro. That's unacceptable.
That's not that's not the mark of a bad center back.
You're right. It's a mark of a stupid ass center back.
Like, that's an error. Errors happen. Even the best players are prone to an error.
I think City is.
To give him, and I don't want to necessarily say I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, but City and a lot of teams in modern football are teams that pass out of the back. And dude was just trying to make a risky pass out of the back and got caught snoozing. The other thing too, I don't know whether to give the Porto guy, Luis Diaz, I think his name is. I think he's Colombian. Luis Diaz. That was a crazy run he went on. After he got that pass, he still dribbled 25, 30, 35 yards and got a good shot. Yeah.
Well, City is not good at defending. We've been saying that.
There was a moment in this match where Ederson and was it Diaz? Ederson and Diaz had a moment where they passed the ball to a Porto player trying to pass it out from the back. So there was two or three moments coming out of the back, but I don't know how much of that is part of that system where, you know, again, these teams are trying to play out through their defenders, and sometimes that can lead to bad things, right? Or how much of that is, you know, Ruben Diaz maybe being overrated, or how much this is the second time he plays for City, right? In his first Champions League match.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But he should already know this Porto team, bro. He plays them every week in Portugal. Get out of here.
No.
This City hype. System, I ain't buying none of this City hype.
No. You know Pep Guardiola loves playing from the back.
Sterling.
It's a hard system. You can't grasp it in two games. Come on. Give him
two slack.
I'm not
even saying off of Diaz. I'm saying this team is not great. It's not good. They're going to need Foden Sterling to do a lot in the mid. De Bruyne can't keep doing everything. Sterling needs to bounce in 20 goals. Aguero needs to stay healthy. And Silva needs to start. But I think they play their best lineup. We'll see what they do. I mean, we got Aguero here just touching girls on the sidelines. So I don't know what that says about your team.
I mean, to talk about that, I mean, yeah, he touched the woman linesman, but, I mean,
controversy.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And how does City, the only team in the world where they get potentially fined for financial fair play, and then the very next season they buy a 68 million pound center back and then blow 25 mil on a Valencia forward. You got to love it. You got to love it.
You do got to love it.
They still suck.
Right.
I think City is cursed to never win because they're just so like...
City or Pep? Pep can't win without Messi is what they're saying, right?
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm making a little conspiracy theory already, but in the league, it's definitely advantage City, but I don't give... I mean, it's still an open play in the Champions League, but I think City is... I don't know. They need everyone to stay healthy and perform to how we know they can, and then they'll definitely be a good team, but I think Foden and someone else has to come up in the mid.
Elsewhere,
Rodri, I guess.
Elsewhere, yeah. in surprising results in the Champions League, in a match that you'd think might be pretty close because they're both, you know, second or third best teams in their respective leagues last season, Dortmund versus Lazio ended up being a decently high-scoring affair, but for most of the goals went for Lazio. Lazio comes out 3-1 winners. Haaland, of course, was the scorer for Dortmund, which would you expect, but just like we've seen pretty much every season for like the last three seasons, especially under Lucien Favre, Dortmund liable in the back, extremely susceptible and vulnerable in the back. So I think they got to figure that out because going forward, there's no really doubting them, right? We got Haaland, there's Sancho, you got Torgan Hazard. They've got just a wealth of options. One could argue
Gio Reyna.
Yeah, Gio Reyna, the promising young American. Marco Royce is playing again.
Brandt.
Julian Brandt, yes. Now, one could argue that they need a proper like backup for Haaland because what happens when Haaland goes down or if he needs a break, right?
Well, we just named so many attacking options that they should kind of be able to slot in.
But the
obviously
issues,
not the same way, but
the issues seem to be in the back for them. Take nothing away from Lazio. Lazio did great back in the Champions League. And Immobile playing well again,
against his ex-team,
right, where he flopped. Again, take nothing away from Lazio's performance. Good for them. They did well. They did what they were supposed to. But yeah, Dortmund, they've already lost in the Bundesliga. Now you have this. Again, just when you thought that they could maybe compete against Bayern, again, just a lot of doubts remain with that team.
Yeah, I think the Champions League is hard though. Any time just to come in and play in it, and I think both teams are a similar style, but I think Lazio was good last year and they'll be good again this year. They're probably about the same to me, Dortmund and Lazio. Immobile has just not stopped scoring, and Correa is a beast on Lazio, and then they got the midfielder. They got a decent squad. Is Lucas still on there?
Lucas Leiva, I think so.
A beast. I mean, it was a little bit surprising, though. You're right that Dortmund lost, because Haaland, you would have thought Haaland and Sancho are worth all this money, right? And they didn't come with the goods. So I don't know. I also don't want to overestimate on all these games, because they're just the first games. And like, if your group is kind of easy, like say Madrid, say your name's Madrid, and you can kind of afford to lose a game or two, you know. But yeah, what other games were there?
Well, I was gonna do one final mention of who's hot and who's not. We go to Juventus versus Dinamo Kiev, where one former Chelsea, Atletico Madrid, and Real Madrid, and former and returning Juventus player was quite hot. Yeah. Alvaro Morata with the two goals for Juve. Kind of bringing them across the line against Dinamo Kiev.
Yeah.
Right? Dinamo Kiev, not necessarily the toughest out, right?
Yeah.
And Juventus kind of still struggled. Again, I kind of give them the benefit of the doubt because they're under a first-year coach. And they're very clearly trying to go through a whole change there in culture and way of thinking. For the last 2 years since they brought in Sarri, you can tell that Juve is trying to go towards a more progressive attacking forward game, right, than what we're normally used to seeing in Italy, and that's always going to take some time. So I'll give Pirlo a little bit more, but again, Juve not necessarily inspiring. Morata kind of bails him out here. He's hot. Juve stays hot because they win.
I thought that guy played well. I haven't really had peeped him. Chiesa?
Oh,
Federico Chiesa, yeah.
I haven't been able to pick up on a certain style, maybe, but I think Juventus quietly made some good moves in a summer where most teams didn't make any moves, or you just kind of weren't able to. The teams that were able to flop the cash, talking Man U, Juve always does it so low-key, but I think Juve got some critical pieces. That Chiesa kid looks pretty decent. And in the mid, I don't know yet what happens. There was no CR7. And Morata just loves playing for Juventus. I don't know. Yeah. Right? What were we saying? It was this weird love for your ex-teams.
Yeah.
Where
he had success. That's probably where he's had the most success since he's been a professional.
Yeah.
You know?
This keeps happening now. At this rate, they're going to loan Hazard back to Chelsea.
Johnny brought up the final. Go ahead, Andres. I cut you off there. You were going to say something.
No, I'm just gonna say Morata also comes back with an ex-teammate who believes in him and is now his coach in Pirlo. So
fair.
That definitely gives him a lot of confidence, you know, to play in big games and, you know, start games and play alongside, you know, Ronaldo, who he played with and at Real Madrid.
I think that's a good point. I feel like Morata's a good player, but he's always the kind of guy who's like in his head, right? Or he needs the right kind of manager or the right kind of motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't want to say that he's soft, right? But I feel like he's the kind of guy who's easily put off by things, right? Or he's in his head, or he might beat himself up a lot. So I think that's a good point. If he's underconfident, we've seen him do good things there at Juventus, right, in the past. But then my final, who's not, right? Who's cold right now? You mentioned it, Johnny. CR7 has been out of since the international. Wait, well, here's why I bring it up, because he while on international duty with Portugal, tested positive for COVID, right? Then he was in the scandal because apparently he broke protocol. Essentially, they suspected he might have been exposed to COVID before he went to international duty, and he probably shouldn't have gone to play with Portugal. Sure enough, he goes to play with Portugal, tests positive. Now, today, this morning, he tested positive again, y'all. So he's been in quarantine. He's been asymptomatic and feeling fine, he says, but he's still testing positive, which now means, guys, that he could potentially miss the crucial matchup that Juventus has in the Champions League next Tuesday against Barcelona and against the GOAT, Lionel Messi. So a lot in the air. I think Juventus plays Verona, Chievo Verona, one of the Verona teams. Mm-hmm. There's two Verona teams, right? I don't remember which one is in the first division anymore. I don't know if it's Hellas. It's Hellas Verona, right? Not Chievo. Regardless, they play some team from Verona, and he probably won't play. They should be fine there. Although they did tie Crotone 1-1 last week, a team who was just recently promoted. But yeah, do you guys think they're going to miss CR7? Because he's probably not going to play, right? He's probably going to miss the Barca match. Are they going to miss him?
Yeah, hell
yeah.
Is
that going to be a make or break?
Yeah. What are you talking about? We're talking about one of the greatest players of all time. He's going to be a make or break. He definitely is.
I'm not sure where they're going to find. I don't know where they're going to find the goals that CR7 contributes, or even just the goal threat that he offers. Big miss for him Morata. And Barca. Morata, but I mean, I don't know if he's going to do it consistently. We don't know that yet.
What's up with Dybala? We know, right?
We're also acting like it's more than one game. They're just going to miss him for one game or two games. So
he's just going to miss one of the Messi games, I guess.
Yeah, that's what sucks about all this. That's what really sucks.
It's just nostalgia for all of us people who, you know, for the last decade grew up with Messi and Ronaldo fighting it back and forth. But they'll have at least one game, I guess, if he does.
I gotta say, guys, positive still. This all threw me off because if I thought it was like, you guys hear Odell Beckham Jr., the wide receiver from the Browns, is in the news recently because he said that he doesn't think he can get COVID. He says, COVID don't want none of me, is what he said. I thought if that it was going to apply to anybody, it was going to apply to Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Cristiano Ronaldo, who are both just physical specimens. I thought if there's two people who can't get the COVID, it was going to be those two. They've both now had the COVID, right? So it's crazy because now we now see that they both, Zlatan and CR7, are human. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, because you think that it wouldn't get to these super secluded and privileged people, for lack of a better word. Because
the physical condition, too.
But you got to think Cristiano is not out here at McDonald's ordering drive-thru to go get COVID and shit.
Absolutely not.
So I got to think, how the heck is he getting COVID? He's freaking partying then.
I think there was videos.
How else can it get there? This is a man-made disease. Everybody's going to get COVID during the
You're going to get
season.
Us flagged for the misinformation, bro.
Everyone's going to get COVID during the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Goretzka from Bayern Munich said that, you know, prepare for an avalanche in, you know, Germany and all these teams are letting fans back in.
That's
especially
crazy.
And, you know, but I think Ibra and CR7 have a little bit of arrogance.
We didn't talk about that.
Well, I was going to make go ahead, finish, Andres.
CR7 and Ibra have a little bit of arrogance to them. So maybe, you know, there's videos of CR7 not wearing his mask, you know, while sitting down watching the fans or watching the game. And,
oh, yeah, you're right.
I mean, I've seen videos of him not being safe. So it's not beyond me to see that.
And I know this is kind of going back, but I think Frankie brought it up. Why are they even playing international matches, right? He probably got COVID or he definitely got COVID while he was on international duty.
I think, didn't somebody at Juventus test positive, right? Right before the international break?
A staff member.
Somebody,
that's
probably where and that's why they said he shouldn't have even have played. But again, that raises the question that you have both asked in the last couple of weeks. Why are they even playing these internationals right now when we're seeing spikes in a lot of places?
Yeah, weird.
But yeah, before we get to our picks for the week, because there's a lot of
honorable mention, bro, for
juicy
our boy,
matchups.
For our boy Zlatan.
Who
at 39 years old is winning the Maradona, how do you say it?
The Derby de la Madalena.
Yeah, shout out to our boy.
Scored two goals against Inter for the W.
Our boy Jeff, right? But, yeah. I think me and Andres called it. I was so happy that they won. Because Ibra's the man. I can't believe he's 39. And he played here in the MLS. And he's still doing the goddamn thing over there.
Yeah, speaking of who's hot, AC Milan, right? 20 matches now undefeated. They won in the Europa against Celtic today, 3-1. So, yeah, shout-outs to them. And Stefano Pioli, who's been able to turn that around. I got to believe Zlatan is... I mean, they had been playing better under Pioli, but then they brought in Zlatan in January, and things are looking rosy, right? Or better in Milan. Elsewhere, too, in the Europa, Leverkusen absolutely spanked their opposition today. They dropped 6 goals on Nice from France, and Nice had been playing pretty well in the French league in the last 2 years. Doesn't say a whole lot of good things about the French league there. Arsenal won today in the Europa League as well. David Luiz and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang on the score sheet for them there. So as you can see, right in the thick of things for football, which is really, really exciting. And we haven't even talked about MLS and Liga MX, and we won't. But yeah, a lot of stuff going on, guys. So a very exciting part of the year. This weekend, though, definitely not one that you want to miss. And especially next Tuesday when that Barcelona-Juventus in the Champions League goes down. So it's that time again. Actually, before we go to the picks, Rafa, is there anything going on in the chat? Big shout out to anybody who's joined us live today. Anybody who's peeped us for even a couple minutes or hit us with a like or anything like that. We appreciate you guys. As always, I will ask you guys, let us know what you think. Let us know if you think any of our opinions are crazy, right? Let us know what you think about your favorite teams or who you think is hot and who's not.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us who you think's hot and who's not. And who you want us to talk about or what you want us to talk about.
For sure. And we'll get started with our Premier League picks.
Who won the picks, though, or what?
I don't know. We're keeping them kind of slightly unofficial. I haven't. I didn't write them down last week. We're just going off.
What do you mean you didn't write them down?
This guy?
We're just going off the cuff right now because as fun as it was to keep track of who won every week, I also realized I was like, we're not keeping like a giant tally anymore. So maybe we can bring that up soon, but... It's just kind of fun.
Let's just say, for all intensive purposes, that I won last week. All right.
Also.
All right, good.
The ultimate who's not. Guys.
The ultimate who's not.
The ultimate who's not. The one man who's been iced out more than anybody else, possibly, in the last couple years.
Oh, no.
Mesut Ozil left off of Arsenal's 25-man Premier League squad. He was left out of their Champions League squad last week and now out of their Premier League squad. The World Cup winner, the man who had more assists for CR7 than anybody else, and this was just in their few years together at Real Madrid, iced out. It looks like he's probably played his last match for Arsenal, right? What's going on with Ozil, guys? Why isn't he getting any respect? No loyalty. Is it that political stuff? Because of his picture with, you know, Erdogan from Turkey and what he said about China. I feel like that's it, because even if his work rate isn't there, even if he doesn't press like modern soccer requires, I feel like he's offers something, you know? He's a creator.
Yeah.
The problem here is that he has to offer something when you're paying the guy $30 million a year, you know, or whatever he's on. And that's just bad. That's just bad across the board. There's other stuff playing. I mean, I guess we shouldn't be too surprised when stuff like this is happening at Real Madrid with Gareth Bale, right? It's probably a little bit similar to this. Players are getting frozen out, and it's like, it's pretty, makes me feel like crap, because I know, like, I want to see Ozil play, and but, like, why is he getting paid so much if he's not playing?
The man saved Gunnersaurus.
Bro, this one's for Ozil.
They had saved Gunnersaurus, man. That's crazy.
I think Arteta just doesn't need Ozil to play. I don't think he serves a role, even if he has the quality.
Who is a better option there that they can't drop someone else?
This man said, "Play Joe Willock."
I don't.
This is why Arsenal's not making top four, just because of this.
The curse of Ozil. Arsenal needs a player like Ozil. I'm not gonna say they don't, but it's not Ozil anymore. It's not what he offers, and they're probably trying to get rid of his contract soon. He's not gonna play. He's gonna train with the team, but he's not gonna play.
Ozil about to be.
I don't know what else.
Sometimes I feel like Ozil, this motherfucker said, it's hard to find loyal people out here.
Yeah, he said loyalty is hard to come by. That's crazy.
And that's
yo.
What I'll. That's a little lessons learned from football on Full Heel for you guys. Because
completely iced out.
That's
He's about to be like Bale at Madrid the last year, just chilling on the bench.
I mean, there are some clubs that will respect the player that has been, you know, long served and, you know, sent a lot to the team. I think Ozil kept Arsenal in the top four position for however long he was there until he got frozen out. But, I mean, modern soccer now, it's like they have no respect for players. It's the money. So
these Spanish managers, just don't like him. Emery and now Arteta.
I hope he still goes to, like, Spain or something. I feel like he has a lot to offer Italy. But if he comes to MLS, I'm definitely going to, like, I love Ozil, bro. he's a beast.
He's class, man. He's class. I feel bad for him.
He plays I love how players play, like, in the mid. Some of the touches,
I want an explanation. I just want to know what's going on, you know? I don't know if we're owed it, but I would like to know why this man, what's the big deal? Like, nobody has come out and said, like, what his problem is.
If I was coach at Arsenal, I would only play Aubameyang as a forward and Ozil right behind him, and everyone else can just defend, to be honest with you. You know? I think that's a winning recipe.
But we'll see.
It's crazy to think that players are just not going to play. So.
Right. And you got to believe that he's probably going to get shipped out in January, right? Or do they keep him around the whole year, unhappy and not playing?
The whole year, bro.
Crazy. Sad ending to what started as a brilliant career for him in the Premier League. He came and absolutely looked like he could turn things around for Arsenal. Of course, Arsene Wenger was there, and he's a specialist in failure, so it never amounted to anything other than some FA Cups. Speaking of which, we'll jump right into our unofficial picks for this weekend. And on Saturday, we've got some good ones, y'all, in the Premier League. Oh, man, that's fucking amazing. It's my birthday this Saturday. I get blessed with some beautiful matches. We got United versus Chelsea. Now, last year, United went 5-1 against Chelsea. They played six times, and they beat them 5 out of those six times. Who you guys got between United and Chelsea on Saturday at 11:30?
I already said
I got Chelsea.
You got Chelsea too, Johnny?
No, I think they just tie.
I think I got the draw too.
I think that there's too much at stake for either team to really pull out right now and be like, oh, we're going to win. I don't know. I think they're pretty even. And if anything, I rate United over Chelsea now. Sorry to cut you off.
I think there's a lot between Havertz and Werner, you know, developing that we're not seeing on the field, but they've got some good connections going on. And Pulisic is coming in, you know, into the squad, getting a little bit healthier. Chilwell is playing well. Mendy is gonna give him a lot in the back. I think Chelsea just ride the clean sheet that they got, and you know, stay defensive and score some goals.
I guess I don't want to spend too much time on it, but Liverpool versus Sheffield United. Liverpool keep on rolling without Van Dijk.
Wait, what was your pick for the lowest?
I draw.
What do you assess these teams at?
I think
I think United is a better team now than Chelsea.
You like the balance that?
I think when I look at players for players, I think United has the better players. I think so. You know what I'm saying? I think Chelsea has the younger squad, but I don't think they have the better players. I think they have players that are able to do more jobs, but I think Fernandez, Cavani, Rashford, Pogba, Maguire are better than the best five at Chelsea.
Wow.
That's big
stuff. We're also going to see Ziyech. So, I don't know if you're rating him, but okay. No, well, we'll see this weekend.
Yeah, let's see this weekend, yeah. But I think they'll tie. But...
Yeah, no, I feel like both teams can be vulnerable in the back, and I think both teams can exploit that as well. I think Werner can totally take advantage of that back line. I think Pulisic could totally take advantage of the back line.
You're right,
But I can also see it the other way. I can also see Rashford taking advantage of the Chelsea back line. I can see Fernandez bringing some good passes on that Chelsea back line. It can go both ways. It actually should be pretty even and pretty exciting, I think. Hopefully I'm not wrong and it's not some boring drab affair, but it really could shake out to be very interesting.
Yep.
All right.
That's Liverpool, a great game. Yeah, great game.
Liverpool-Sheffield United. Maybe not the greatest game, but I think just intriguing because everyone wants to know what Liverpool is going to look like in the league without Van Dijk. So who do you guys got? I think I got Liverpool. Sheffield had a nice little season last year. Finished in the top 10 in their first year back in the Premier League. Very nice story. But, I mean, other than that, I don't really...
I honestly just don't want to let Andres say Sheffield United.
He's going to say draw, right? You're going to say draw?
Yeah, I just don't. I say Liverpool.
I say Liverpool, too. What do you say, Andres? He's going to say draw.
He's going to say Sheffield is going to win because
I'm going to say draw.
Oh, I knew it. I told you. He's going to say the draw.
What yeah, Mane was playing. Mane was playing with a dead leg. I don't think he shows up, and 3 days later, you know, fully fit. And who knows when we're going to play in the mid.
He had COVID too.
Yeah, he did have COVID.
We gotta have a COVID IR watch list for all the players.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Hakimi is the other big ones. Hakimi tested positive.
I'm kidding. I mean, they still got Salah. Salah hat trick. They'll win. I got Liverpool.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. All right. The other big one, and again, there's not a whole lot of luster on this match. Both of these teams are coming off a loss to, depending on who you ask, teams that are not very good. But it's the freaking Clásico, y'all. It's Clásico time. I think this match came way too soon in the season. It's not super exciting. Again, both teams aren't in the best form necessarily. But we got Real Madrid. We got Barcelona in the Clásico. Biggest match in world football. Who do you guys got? I got Barca, and for this lone reason, Sergio Ramos is out. Real Madrid is terrible without Ramos. Terrible. And they can't. Who are they going to score with? And who's going to score the PK for them if Ramos is out?
Damn.
Yeah. Stabbed in the bag. Messi is the king of El Clásico. They got Ansu Fati. They got Dembele. They got Coutinho. They got goals. They got
Barca. Wow. Wow, you guys. Really surprising me today. But I'm going with Barca, too, because you already know what it is here. I think... my bias is too strong toward Barca to pick Real Madrid in this game. And I think it's a Messi hat trick. And I think he takes his shirt off or something. I don't know. I hope it's a good game, man, and gives me some type of action in the
league. Emotion.
If it's a 0-0 draw again, I might cut my veins.
Yeah, we're not looking. Here. Yeah. The last one ended with Real Madrid scoring two late goals, right? It wasn't the most appealing, including a goal by one Mariano Diaz.
No Pique, though, for the Clásico. So.
That guy has came on strong, right? We didn't talk about him or that Man U defender, but at Barca, the tall...
Araujo?
Yeah, I think he will come pretty good for them. So I know I talked a lot of crap about Barca earlier, but I mean... he was good. Remember we seen him against Sevilla, too?
And we're probably going to get Sergiño Dest making his his first Clásico start. We'll see what he has to offer.
Nothing too crazy in the Bundesliga this weekend, unfortunately. But we do have a derby. We have the Ruhr derby. Dortmund versus Schalke.
Ruhr?
Yeah. I think that's the region in Germany. They're both pretty close. I think they're like minutes apart, the two towns. Yeah. But I don't know. Schalke has been pissed terrible in 2020.
That's not even a good word to describe it, I think.
I don't think they've won in 2020, to be honest with you.
I think I read that they haven't won in like 20 matches or 18 matches. That's how bad they've been, bro.
Yeah, no.
That's what I read somewhere, I'm pretty sure.
Dortmund should bounce back from their Champions League loss to Lazio against Schalke in a derby, which should hopefully boost their confidence. Bayern Munich plays Eintracht Frankfurt. Frankfurt, not a terrible team, but Bayern is just stacked. You got to expect that they keep it rolling under Hansi Flick. Although we never saw that loss coming a couple weeks ago when Bayern did finally capitulate.
That Haaland goal was sexy against Lazio.
Yeah,
that Reyna assist. He just sliced the whole defense.
Dude, Haaland is a beast. He's a no nonsense forward. He's crazy.
Yeah, he's the real deal.
Dude, you know what I was saying? Crazy. More conspiracies or just stuff. from me. Craziness. Atalanta should sign Lukaku. They should even sign Haaland at this point. these teams then now are playing crazy good, you know? Haaland lets it rip, bro, like Beyblade.
Like Beyblade.
That's how some of these teams are playing now.
Oh, wow.
That's a reference dude. For the...
Yeah, dude.
For that, the millennials in the,
that's
in
the how, audience. That's how Atalanta be freaking letting shots off. That's how teams need to play, bro. These teams like Leeds.
Be more exciting.
Yeah, this year is going to be crazy. I'm so geeked up for this league and this year and everything. Like, we don't get... Remember in Italy, Frankie, when we were getting 0-0 draws, 1-1? And now it's like...
Yeah, there's high-scoring affairs.
All the games are like, they must be 3-3 because, like, there's no fans. People need to see stuff. And it's been pretty exciting, so... I know I love watching soccer games every day during the weekends and during the weekdays at all times of the day, right? Mm. It's a crazy time to be alive right now, and we're just happy to be here and even hanging out with you guys. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Nothing too crazy and fun in Serie A this weekend. Just on Monday, I guess, the highlight of Italy this weekend, we have Milan versus AS Roma. Does Milan keep the streak going? They haven't lost in 20 plus.
Yeah.
Or 20
yeah.
at least. Are they going to keep it rolling?
Hell
or,
yeah.
Dare to Zlatan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got Milan too.
Milan.
All right. And then, really guys, other than, the Chelsea
we got
Man United
next week too.
That's what I was going to say. That's where the really juicy ones are because,
I'm telling you, this is so mind boggling.
Arsenal Leicester play on Sunday in the Premier League 2, not a terrible matchup.
No, that's a good game. That's an important game.
I think that's a draw right there, honestly.
That's an important game.
I think Vardy is low-key, is very underrated, Jamie Vardy, and he can give Arsenal some problems.
So is Danny Ings. That's what I was saying.
So all right, so
Calvert-Lewis has 6 goals on the low.
On Tuesday, I'm sorry, Tuesday the 27th in the Champions League. Man, we have Shakhtar versus Inter Milan. I didn't want to give Shakhtar too much credit because their domestic league isn't the best there in Ukraine, but they just rocked Real Madrid with 10 players missing. So Inter tied to Borussia Mönchengladbach. So I think this can be an interesting matchup. You got Inter getting a W in the group or Shakhtar reigning supreme there and pretty much wrapping up their entrance into the next round. What do you guys think?
I think Lukaku keeps scoring.
Yeah.
The man is on fire.
I would like to think that, yeah, Inter can get the win. I feel like Inter got not better, not great this year. I don't know. I think they were good to keep Lautaro and Sanchez, so they're going to try to get their form, and Vidal is there. So
this is on Tuesday, too, and yeah. I think it could be another draw, guys. I can see another 2-2 right here. If it ends 2-2 again like it did for Inter this week, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I have Inter Milan winning that group, so I'm going to have them winning the game.
Over Shakhtar, okay. Atletico looks like they have a chance to bounce back against FC Salzburg. I think they should be fairly comfortable against the Austrian champion. Gladbach versus Real Madrid. If Ramos isn't back, I think Gladbach can give them some problems. So I think there's some question marks there. Man City plays Marseille. Marseille is a historic team, right? A big team there in France. But given that they haven't been particularly great as of late, and they do play in the French League every weekend, I think Man City should be able to handle Marseille there without any hiccups. But then again, Porto gave them some issues to begin with. So the other big one for Tuesday, I think this could be a very intriguing matchup that we'll definitely make picks for. Atalanta, the high-scoring team we're just talking about, plays Ajax.
I think Atalanta's too good.
You got Atalanta over Ajax?
Dude, I fucking rate Atalanta this year. I'm loving all these teams that are just high-octane, high-energy. Everton, Atalanta, Lazio, Dortmund. I'm really loving all these teams. And the only teams I won't mention that aren't exciting me like that are teams from fucking Spain. I think only Sevilla is a team that excites me out of Spain and Barca, but I'm really loving this year all these teams that are like playing with a certain style. And then there's no fans, bro. I think we haven't talked about that. Or not to steal a segment or whatever, but like, there's no fans. Results are going to be crazy. And Andres might just win on picks again somehow all the time.
Who do you got, Andres? Ajax?
Yeah, I got Ajax.
Oh, wow. I was actually taking a shot in the dark there.
I got Atalanta
3-0,
4-0.
Ajax has a really, really young squad, but they're all part of that Ajax system and where they kind of know their role. So I think in the mid, they have this guy named Bracken Haven or something like that. It's like 17.
Damn.
I think in the...
Don't you mean Edson Alvarez?
Yeah, well, Edson Alvarez actually has been a really bad player for them. He hasn't really performed.
They haven't really played him.
Yeah, because he hasn't performed as well as other players. But they have some interesting players in the Ajax talent factory with Anthony and some other players that they have on the wings. So
yeah,
I think that's going to give Atalanta some trouble.
Shout out to Andres, our number one recruiter here at the Football on Full Heel.
Youth scout.
Yeah, the number one youth scout for football.
Scout nation, right?
I'll go with Atalanta on this one, too. I like Ajax and always have, and like Andres said, I watched the highlights, and they still have some interesting pieces. David Neres is still there, the Brazilian. Dusan Tadic almost chipped.
I think he's a beast.
Adrian, man. Too. Tadic is good. You mentioned Anthony, who's a good, promising young player. To be fair...
They went toe-to-toe with Liverpool. They just had, you know, fortunate deflection with Tagliafico, you know. So I think they're still there.
Well, they're still a team that plays quick and fast. But I think Atalanta should beat them easy.
I agree. Now we move on to Wednesday where we have a slew of other matches, but really there's only two that stick out. I'll keep the best one for last. But Man United plays RB Leipzig next Wednesday. Who do you guys got? Does United keep going, or does Leipzig beat them?
I got Leipzig.
Dortmund Leipzig?
No, Leipzig Man United. Leipzig just beat Istanbul.
I know. I want to say that Leipzig wins that off of form. Because, dude, this form is going to be the craziest thing to predict this year, I think. Mm-hmm. I think Leipzig wins, yeah. Man U can't keep it up that many games.
Yeah, Leipzig.
I don't know how.
What was the meme? Did you guys see that meme? When your ex left back scores two goals?
Because I think. Angelino?
I think this motherfucker scored two goals.
Yeah.
And now he's in Leipzig.
It's funny that you say that, because I was going to say, how can you bet against Leipzig when Angelino is scoring goals, right?
Dude, it's funny. I think Leipzig is a good team. Underrated. Or not underrated, just not talked about enough, you know? That coach is promising. What's his name?
Nagelsmann? Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, Andres? You got United?
No, he picked RB, I think.
Yeah, I got RB.
I mean,
I got United losing, so I think on form, they're not going to win this game.
I think we all have Leipzig, just because Leipzig, I think, has some intensity and speed that will really give United their back line a lot of problems. That's the big Axel Tuanzebe had a great match against really fast players in Mbappe and Neymar, but we're talking about, like Johnny said, a team with a system and a good system that they know now and a good coach, so... I think that's the key word there is intensity. I think they'll just be too intense there. And then finally, the big matchup of the next week in any league, I think, other than United Chelsea possibly. We have Juventus versus Barcelona on Wednesday the 28th, also at 3 p.m. Juventus without El Bicho, CR7, who you guys got? And, of course, Piqué. No Piqué either, because Piqué got a red card against Ferencvaros, so he's not going to play.
I'll go first. I definitely have Juve with a CR7 hat trick.
He's probably not going to play, bro. He's got the COVID. He's in the COVID.
I know. I was just playing, bro. But no, I'm just kidding. I still got Juve winning. I think Barca's had the harder patch of games. If they can go and beat Juve, if they can go and beat Real and Juve, that's a statement for them, but I don't think they will because I don't think they're that great of a team. And I think Juve I think Juve will prove to be a lot of Barca's kryptonite in terms of good defense, solid at the back, good pacey forwards, decent mid. I don't see how Barca pulls it off, honestly. I don't see a motivated Messi unless these would be like the two most exciting games, and Frankie cursed it with his birthday coming up and shit, and now CR7 can't play in the Clásico. CR7 can't play.
I'm not gonna just give you a pick. I'm gonna give you a score too.
Oh, I'm picking Juve to win. No, just to win. I won't pick a score, but I'll pick Juve to beat Barca in that game.
I got Barca 1-0. Fati stays hot. That's and you can take that to the bank.
We're gonna see you next week.
Yeah, I got Barca over Juve as well.
Look at these guys. We should make a bet.
But that about wraps it up for this week, everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in live. Thank you guys for anybody who clicked even for a second. Once again, let us know what you think in the chat. Leave a comment. Definitely leave a like, not just for this video and this football podcast, but definitely subscribe to the Full Heel Network. And guys, prepare yourselves. This Saturday, potentially the biggest card of the year, we have a Full Heel Fight Companion coming at you. It's a little bit early because they're in Abu Dhabi and they're keeping it, I guess, in a good time for that part of the world. But we have UFC 254, Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Justin Gaethje. The strap is on the line. It's going to be a good one, y'all. So check in right here on the Full Heel Network with some of us. And, of course, Rafa, the don of this thing. So check that out on Saturday. And we'll be back next Thursday. Make sure you watch some of these matches. Catch the Clásico. Definitely don't miss those Champions League matches. And we love y'all. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Happy birthday to Frankie, though.
Oh, yeah.
And Rafa. Great birthday to the boy. Birthday
just passed. Yeah.
Thank y'all.
I'm drunk.